Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my second-in-command, Producer Dave and Commander Chris. We're coming to you from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, Oregon, and on all of our affiliates on the Barbecue Nation and the Envision Radio Networks, and we thank you for joining us this week. World Champion has a pretty good ring to it, doesn't it? Well, Tom Gearhart and his Mudville gang, that's my name, that's not their official name, we're just champion at the Invitational at the Royal, so we're going to spend some time with Tom today, talk about barbecue and why he could never catch a pine cone, but that's a different story. And then we're also going to have some music from Eric Clapton. Tom Gearhart, welcome, buddy.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me.
No problem. We'll get to the pine cone question later on. I did a little research on you. So
yeah, you dug deep.
I dug deep. But this your first world championship for Mudville?
It is it's first world championship for me, first world championship for Mudville Barbecue, for our team.
Okay, so where did you come up with the name, Mudville?
So I grew up along with my teammates, one of whom is one of my younger brothers. We grew up in Stockton, California,
okay,
which is about an hour south of Roseville, where I live now. And one of the early names for Stockton was Mudville. And so we kind of adopted that since it was our hometown as our name.
We've got slang vernacular up here in the Northwest. You know, we're 600 miles north of you there, but the weather fits, you know, it works like that.
Right.
So let's kind of get a little historical perspective for you, Tom. How did you decide and how did you get started in competitive barbecue?
I think late 2014 is when I really started to get interested in it, and that was kind of at the peak of the Barbecue Pitmasters TV series. It was very popular. It was on TLC. It was on Destination America, Discovery Channel. You know, competition barbecue was all over TV, and so I really started to take an interest in it then, and started doing a little research and bought an old offset stick burner and started playing around with it in the backyard. And then ultimately, kind of early in 2015, decided, you know what, this is something that I might like to try and might like to do for myself. And
sure.
Called my brother or my friends and said, hey, let's start a team. And they said, okay. And that was that. We were off and running. And our first contest in 2015 was in Washington, D.C. We did actually pretty well. I mean, we didn't get a call, but we finished middle of the field in all the categories and had a great time doing it, met a lot of great people, so we decided that we would keep it going.
Why Washington, D.C.? That's a far piece, my friend, from where you live.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at the time, I was living in Northern Virginia. In my previous lifetime, I was an Army infantry officer, and my final assignment had brought me to Fort Myer, right there in Northern Virginia.
Yep.
And in 2012, when I left the Army, my family and I decided to stay in the area. So I was living there at the time. And the Washington, D.C. contest happened to be the closest one. And that's kind of why we chose that one to start.
So for our listeners who are contemplating doing something like this, and we have a lot of them that are,
yeah.
What did you learn your first trip out?
Well, what did I learn? I learned it takes a team. Right. It's not something that somebody can really do on their own. You really have to rely on each other to help each other out. And at the time we were cooking on a much different style cooker and using a much different technique than we are now. We were cooking low and slow overnight, and so you really had to trust each other to tend and manage the fire when it was your turn to watch the cooker. So I think the most important thing that I learned was it really does take teamwork if you want to succeed.
Kind of like being on night watch, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yep.
And it's pretty easy to go to sleep too sometimes when you're sitting close to that cooker and it's warm and it's getting a little chilly outside. Yeah. And it's warm. And maybe you've had a couple of, you know, bottles of hydration fluid.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. And then you're kind of looking at it and you go, oh, I'll just doze off here for a minute. And then pretty soon the sun's coming up and you're in trouble. So, or you're fixing to get in trouble if anybody's caught you, so you get that fire stoked up again.
That's right.
So what did your brother and your other two crew members think about, you know, going to Washington, D.C.? Like I said, that's a far piece from Roseville, California. To do all that. I'm sure they were happy to be there and they were excited to do that, but must have been a little nerve-wracking for them and you at the same time.
Yeah, so, you know, like I had mentioned, I'd been in the Army and moving all over the country and deployed a couple times, and hadn't had much of a chance to see some friends and family that were back here in California. So it was really more of an excuse of, hey, let's get together and let's go do something fun. Let's try something new. You know, it's been a while since we've seen each other. It'll be a fun weekend. That contest is a 2-day contest, or at least it was back then, which is a little different than your typical 1-day KCBS contest.
Sure.
So it became a whole weekend. It was like a Thursday to Monday. You know, we're all together. We're going to do this as a team, as friends, as family.
I get it.
I don't think up to that point they had maybe done as much research or knew exactly what they were jumping into when they agreed and said, yes, let's do this. but I think, you know, once we started like 10 o'clock on Friday night, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, we're going to stay up all night and you're not going to get any sleep. I think their eyes kind of got a little big and
yeah,
maybe they wish they hadn't come out, but overall we had a great time. And if not for that first contest and the experience of it, you know, we probably never would have continued.
Did you have the recipes when you started? When I say recipes, because we're going to talk about this more in the next segment, but, you know, your process, you were still pretty green behind the ears, so to speak. And a lot of these guys now that are competing go to these really elaborate processes of injecting and rubbing and trimming and this and that. And that's all good. If it works for you, fine. But, yeah. You know, when you step into that arena the first time, it's always got to be a little, like we said before, a little nerve wracking. Just, you know, make sure if you remembered everything, if your recipe's correct. But did you have a game plan with recipes and trimming and stuff?
Yeah. So I will say that our technique since that first contest has obviously evolved tremendously, obviously. And that just comes with practice, right? So, in addition to cooking contests every year, you know, we practice several times a year. But back then, yeah, we had recipes and we knew going into the weekend how we wanted to cook and what types of rubs and sauces and things we wanted to use on each of the different meats. I think what really simplified it for us, especially since it was our very first contest and we really had no idea what to expect other than what time to turn the meats in, what really helped us was my experience in the military of checklists and detailed, you know, plan like down to the minute of what our timeline was going to be. And we were going to stick to our timeline, stick to our recipes, and let the chips fall where they may. And then after that, kind of reevaluate what worked and what didn't and make a change for the next time. And I think that's something important, no matter what your skill level or experience level is. When you do, you know, any kind of food sport, whether it's a SCA event or KCBS, whatever, having a plan and sticking with your plan and then evaluating the results and making adjustments as necessary going forward is key to success.
Do you participate in SCA events?
I've done a couple of them. They aren't as prevalent or available in California. I think California has only had one in the last couple of years. But they are fun. It's something different to do than a KCBS contest. You know, everybody on the team can do their own stakes.
Right.
So that makes it kind of fun. You can all do them together at your cook site. I have done a couple, and they're fun.
Well, and they all get to pick the steaks off the same table. So
that's right.
You know,
yeah,
it's up to you. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Tom Gearhart from Mudville Barbecue, champions of this year's Invitational at the Royal. Tom and I will be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. I shot the sheriff. Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, welcome back to the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We launched our new website. We did, by golly. It's not as full as I would like it, but we knocked it out a couple days ago and launched it. And that's Barbecue Nation, BBQNationJT.com. So that's how you go. You know, it's really simple. Also, if you want to email us, it's Barbecue Nation, BBQNation at SalemPDX.com. You can go to SoundCloud and see all the rest of our shows, our archive there, which has got 200 or 300 shows in there now. So, and all you have to do is go Barbecue Nation JT. Okay. And we've got Facebook and we've got Twitter and we've got all that stuff, and it's easy to find us. We're back talking with Tom Gearhart from Mudville Barbecue, world champion at the Invitational this year. That's kind of a big deal, you know. You go back there and you really hadn't been knocking on the door for a long time, you know. I mean, meaning time length, you know.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years. Was this your first trip to the Invitational?
Yeah, this is our very first trip to the Invitational, very first trip to the Royal, period. The Invitational was my 24th contest ever.
Well, see, there you go. The newness hasn't worn off yet.
Yeah, that's right.
So what did people, I'm sure people were very complimentary to you.
Yeah, you know, even though we haven't been around a long time, haven't cooked in two different parts of the country, I've got a good cross section of contacts in the barbecue world, and some pretty, you know, well respected pitmasters, both by the community in general and especially myself. So I was able to see a lot of different people that I had met over the years and that I've had friendships with it over the years. So even though it was our first time there, I really didn't feel quite like an outsider. At least that was my outward appearance. On the inside, I was a mess, but on the outside, it was fine.
Well, back to your competition at the nation's capital back there, the barbecue battle. I was just looking here. You got first place for your pork shoulder and sixth place overall. And that was your first one, right?
So that was our first maybe it may have been our first category win. I can't remember. That was 2017, I believe.
Right.
And we may have had one other call at the Jamboree that year, but that was kind of, you know, our biggest, certainly our best finish overall. And to win in that city, in that contest against the field, that contest draws some very good competitors, and so to pick up a category win like that and to finish that well, we were very, very happy.
How many politicians showed up at that thing?
I don't recall seeing any politicians in the 4 years that I competed in DC.
I don't know if it's free anything, they'll be there, especially free food. You know, they're no different than the rest of us when it comes to that.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Tom, how did you touched on this briefly before. Do you really think your Army training and the discipline that you learned in the Army has helped you exponentially with your barbecue? Or is it just because you are now, because of your service, you know, you're very well organized and orchestrated, and you know how to put a plan together and execute it.
I think it's a combination of both those things. I think I kind of had some of those skills and abilities kind of innately, and they were refined in 7 years in the Army, and then the attention to detail that is required in that job certainly translates well into competition barbecue, because it's all about attention to detail. It's all about doing things the exact same time every single time you cook. I mean, down to the minute with your timeline and everything else that goes into competition barbecue. So yeah, I do think it helps in some ways, and maybe that has helped kind of accelerate our success. That's it. Success, I should caveat that saying we've only won 2 grand championships, so
well,
success is relative, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, Travis Clark, when I talked to him a couple of years ago, and he'd only been barbecuing about 5 years before he went to the world and won it. So I think Tim Shearer too. So it doesn't take much if you hit a lick and know what you're doing. You can get out there and win a big prize.
Yeah.
And that's good for business, good for your competition career. Do you do barbecue other than competing?
I barbecue for my family and friends, but it's a very different style of barbecue that I cook at home.
Right.
It's still what I would call a Kansas City barbecue style, but it's not competition barbecue. But I do enjoy it around the house and, family and friends, big events, Super Bowl, things like that.
So you can get it on your shirt? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Well, in the Army, you'd have to change your shirt or scrub it out. But
right.
At home, you can just throw it on the floor if you want. Nobody's going to say much. What when you're selecting your meats, Tom, by the way, folks, we're talking with Tom Gearhart here from Mudville Barbecue Team. They won the world, the Invitational this year, and it was their first big crack at it. And they took, they took home the big prize. So that's pretty cool. When you're selecting your meat, we got about a minute and a half left before we go to break, Tom. Just go us through the process of like your ribs or your brisket.
Sure. So when I'm looking for ribs, there's kind of two schools of thought. The one school of thought is you can go with kind of a better breed of pork or a higher breed of pork, a Cheshire pork or something like that. I typically lean more towards the commodity pork. Stuff you can buy in your grocery store or Walmart or anything like that. And when I'm selecting a rib, I'm looking for a single pack so I can see both sides of the rack inside the package before I buy it.
Right.
And I'm looking for any shiners on top and on the bottom. Shiner is when you can see the bone through the meat. You don't want to see that.
Right.
And then I'm looking for the marbling, which is the even dispersion of the fat vein through the rest of the protein on the top side of the rib rack. And then finally, the last thing I look for is I flip it over and I look at the bones and I look to see if they're running straight or perpendicular to the rest of the direction of the rib. Hmm. And those are the things that I'm looking for when I'm picking out a rack of ribs.
You don't get a lot of straight ones on some of those breeds.
On some of them you don't. On the Smithfield, I've had better success finding straight bones, good clean bones on the underside. Sometimes you can get a lot of fat deposits underneath the silver skin on some ribs, but I've had pretty good success with the Smithfields.
There you go. We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back, and we're going to be talking some more with Tom Gearhart from Mudville Barbecue, your current world champion at the Invitational, right after these messages. Don't go away. Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Camaro Dave, Commander Chris, And Tom Gearhart from Mudville Barbecue down in the Roseville area in California, but he is this year's current world champion of the Invitational back there at the Royal. Happened about a month ago, a little more than a month ago. So he's probably still just kind of getting used to that title, world champ, right there. If you'd like to find out more about us, you can go to SoundCloud, and we're on a lot of the other platforms. Just type in Barbecue Nation, not the restaurants overseas, but our shows. You can do that. You can send me an email at barbecuebbq@salempdx.com. So a couple of ways to get a hold of us there, and also through Facebook and through Twitter and through Pinterest and through Instagram. Like, did I get any? Did you miss any, Tom? Do you think? I don't know. I think I got them all.
Yeah, I saw them.
The main ones there. Anyway, we're talking with Tom Gearhart from Mudville. Did you know, starting out, you know, what, 4 or 5 years ago, did you actually have the skills to, like, trim a brisket, trim up a rack of ribs, you know, trim chicken thighs? I mean, did you know anything about that?
I understood the concepts and the reasons that you need to do those things in order to cook each meat correctly or successfully. So I think I had a foundation, and through some research, I was able to kind of teach myself a little bit, but it really wasn't until I started learning from some of the other great pitmasters out there that I was really able to kind of take that next step and say, okay, this is how I need to start trimming chicken. And then in the last year, maybe 18 months, I've really taken kind of a third step to where I think I've kind of made that process a little of my own.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of all three of those things, right? So a basic understanding of why you have to do that. Some people who taught me some things along the way, and then refining what I was taught and making it my own to what I'm using now.
What do you do for seasoning? Just like, say, for the chicken, the thighs or legs, yeah, whatever you choose to serve. What do you do? What seasonings do you do? How do you prep that?
So everything that we use is a commercial product. And early on, we were making our own rubs. But one of the problems you run into is, A, the time required to mix 3 or 4 different flavor profile rubs for each of your proteins. So there's the time, there's the raw product costs, and then there's the quality issues. Because even though you're mixing it yourself, it's not going to be as consistent as most of the competition quality commercial products that are out there.
Sure.
So we transitioned from using our own seasonings to using commercial products on everything that we cook.
Well, most of the commercial products are good. You know, they had to be good just to get there,
yeah,
for the most part. So I don't really think that spending, you know, whatever it takes, an hour, 2 hours to develop a certain rub, and then the cost when you're developing it, because you're still not able to get it down to, you know, 72 cents a pound or something. It's huge. So it's a lot cheaper. And, you know, if you look it up and it's, you know, whoever it is, maybe it's something from Pit Barrel, maybe it's something from, you know, Myron, somebody like that.
Sure.
They've already put the time and effort into it. So I always recommend to people, don't try to get too creative with your own seasoning. Just buy it.
Right.
You know, they... they've spent a lot of time and research and R&D on that. So no reason for you guys to waste the money out there. What's your favorite thing out of the categories you have to cook at a KCBS competition, for example? What is your favorite? Is it the ribs? Is it the brisket? What's your favorite one to cook?
My favorite one to cook is pork shoulder.
Yeah.
I really like that one. It's a challenge just like all of them. And I really like the challenge of trimming a pork butt, finding that money muscle, making it just the right shape and just the right size, mm-hmm. and doing that across three or four different pork butts that we're getting ready to cook for a contest. And to me, that's the most fun to cook. It's the most fun to put the box together. And in my opinion, it tastes the best of all four meats that we cook.
Where do you get yours? Smithfield or?
No, I buy them from Restaurant Depot. I cook boneless pork butt from Restaurant Depot.
Well, there you go. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Now your partners on the team. Okay. Did they, after you guys won, I know there's always a bit of celebration and euphoria. Has that one kicked in on them yet? Or two, are they still kind of like, wow, that was incredible. What did we just do?
So I think we all understood what we were able to accomplish by winning the Invitational.
Yeah.
And I remember when we went back to our campsite and back to our trailer, I told the rest of the team, party up, have fun. If people come by and want to say hi and want to congratulate us, I want you guys to take care of it and enjoy that. I'll be in the trailer because I got to inject pork butt and brisket for Sunday's contest. So we all understood.
Right.
Kind of the not the importance, not the gravity, but the significance of what we accomplished. And we have so much respect for all the teams that were there competing. We know how hard all of them worked. A lot of those teams have been cooking a lot longer than us. So we were just we tried to be very respectful of everyone that cooked in that event and not really overdo it. And I think we accomplished that goal.
Think you got that done, did you?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it had to do with shock, but we tried to be pretty modest the rest of that night and the rest of the weekend. It would have been easy to kind of mail it in on Sunday.
Yeah.
After you win the Invitational. But as soon as we got back to the site, I said, we're not going to do that. We're going to cook tomorrow as if it were any other contest that we're trying to win. And we're going to do our best, because I think it would reflect poorly on us as a team if we decided that we're just going to goof around and mail this one in.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, because you also get a bad rap when you do that. So
that's right.
And you certainly, there's not that many. I mean, we talked to a lot of them here on the show, but there are not that many competition teams out there. Maybe 5,000, something like that. That's not a very big number when you think we've got, 300 million plus people in this country. So, that's a pretty low number, but
it's a small community.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a very small community. Your favorites, if you're not doing competition, what's your favorite, cooker to cook on?
I have a Gateway here at the house. And my favorite thing to cook here for the family is ribs. Both my kids, I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and they absolutely love ribs. My 6-year-old is actually the one who helped me develop my rib recipe that we're using currently, last winter before we started the 2019 season. I completely reset our rib recipe. We cooked Del Mar in August 2018 and we did awful. So I decided to retool a few things, and ribs was one of them. And he helped me cook ribs over the winter. So
I like the way you said that. It was awful. It was just awful.
Yeah, that was awful. it was. Well, we had high expectations and high hopes, and we just didn't make the grade that day. And that happens to every cook, and that happens at some contests. There's nothing you can do about it. But
oh yeah, anyway. Well, if like me, keep your expectations pretty low. Then you're good to go. You know what I mean? Especially the first few times out. Well, hey, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Tom Gearhart from Mudville Barbecue, your reigning world champion at the Invitational, right after this. Do not move. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Commander Chris and Camaro Dave. I had to get their names right. I say them too fast sometimes, and it turns into blah, 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 blah. This week, we're talking to Tom Gearhart from Mudville Barbecue. What does your wife think of this? You know, what does the rest of your family think of this? I don't know how many you've got or whatever. That's fine. But let me, let me ask those two things first.
So my wife is very supportive of my hobby, because that's really what it is for me, the hobby. It's a very serious hobby and something that I am very passionate about and almost to the point of an obsession. But she's very supportive. I think she appreciates and enjoys that I have something that I'm so passionate about.
Yeah.
And I remind her periodically that, well, you know, some guys are car guys and some guys are boat guys. And my, you know, my thing on the weekends is I like to cook barbecue.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah. And my kids love it. They love to go attend as many events as they can with us. They love to eat the barbecue that we have left over when we cook a contest, and they love the trophies. They remind me almost every time I leave for a contest. Oh, hey, Dad, see if you can bring back a trophy.
Yeah, Dad wants the title and a check is what he really wants. So you got to, I mean, they may be too little to understand that, but they will. Trust me on that.
They will. Yeah.
What do you think is the greatest thing you've done when it comes to barbecue, or the goofiest, if you want to do that?
I don't know. I think as much with it, even though winning the Invitational was an enormous accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And any cook would be happy to do that.
Oh,
I don't think that that's the greatest thing I've done yet. I don't know.
Something you're thinking about?
Is what something I'm thinking about?
Oh, the greatest thing you've ever done. I mean, have you thought about something?
No, I haven't. You know, I would like to be able to use barbecue as a platform for something more important.
Yeah.
I just don't know what that is yet.
Well,
so I think when the timing is right, I'll know.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Operation Barbecue, a few of those, they're helping. They don't own restaurants per se, but they're helping. I think, you know, possibly that's a good avenue to go to help people that way.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you the pine cone story.
Yeah.
Got about a minute left, a little over a minute. So you didn't catch pine cone. So what does all this mean?
Okay. So I went to Whitworth University in Spokane, Washington for my undergraduate college education.
Yeah.
And there are three traditions at Whitworth University that each student, is supposed to do before they can graduate. The first thing is you drop your meal tray at the dining hall. The second thing is you find your future spouse and get engaged. And the third thing is you catch a falling pine cone from one of the 100 or so pine trees that are throughout the Whitworth University campus, and you catch it before it hits the ground. And you save that virgin pine cone because it hasn't hit the ground. And I can honestly say, I think I may have dropped a tray, but I'm not certain. I did not get engaged and I did not catch a virgin pine cone.
Well, there you go.
But I still graduated. So
is there a job for you to go around and check the virgin status of pine cones? I mean, how does that work?
No, I don't suppose there is. Only the owner knows for sure.
Yeah.
Unless there are witnesses to see him catch it. But I saw plenty of people catch them. I was never one of the lucky ones to be walking through campus and hear that. You hear the little crack of the pine cone breaking off, and you can hear it trickling through the branches. And you see guys run sprinting, trying to catch these things falling. It never happened for me.
Right. Tom, we got to take, we got to wrap up the show here. But real quickly, is there one thing you wanted to do in barbecue that you have not done yet?
I would love to cook with Jack.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Tom Gearhart from Mudville Barbecue. Thank you very much, my friend. It's been interesting.
Thank you very much for having me.
Entertaining. Good luck out there in the future. Next week, speaking of Travis Clark, we have Travis Clark for next week, and our next hour, I should say, not next week. We will be back next week with another show. So for Dave and Chris and myself, remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.